The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel, Voice America. Are you one of the 300 million worldwide people who have been diagnosed with asthma, like me? Control? Well, I thought mine was till I started reading Beating Asthma. Now I'm not so sure. Dr. Stephen Apolitsky is an allergy and asthma physician who conducts also clinical trials in Texas. His information could help save your life. An Irish Seamus has a son who has multiple food allergies. So she created Allermates, a new line of bright, fun, whimsical, character-driven wristbands, dog tags, and lunch boxes for her son. And these are now sold in Walgreens. She sent me samples, and my asthmatic grandson is proudly wearing them. And his brother and sister said, "We want some." So they're wearing some too. Acquiring these items could save your child from an attack. So think about it and buy some. So first we're going to talk to Dr. Apolitsky. So welcome.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Melanie. It's great to be here.
It's a great pleasure because after reading your book, I thought, I only think I have problems a couple of times a year, but maybe that's not true.
Right. Exactly.
So you're going to enlighten me.
I will do my best.
I haven't had an asthma specialist in a number of years because I thought I was okay.
Sure.
But now I'm thinking maybe that's not the case. So you're going to help me.
Yes, ma'am.
So why did you write the book, Beating Asthma?
You know, I've been a physician for about 30 years. I trained as a pediatrician initially and then trained in allergy and asthma. And you know, I got kind of tired of seeing the results or outcomes for my asthmatic patients not changing over the years. Like my personal patients did fine, but when I was looking at patients overall with asthma, there was still a fair amount of uncontrolled asthma out there. And I've spent a lot of time educating, you know, general physicians about asthma, and I thought, we're not making the difference we need to make. So I thought, I'm going to take the principles that I see, that as I see them, as that allergists, as asthma specialists use, and put those in a book form, distill them out, and give them to patients in that form. The thing is, allergists, once again, have much better outcomes when they're taking care of asthma patients. So they go to the emergency room less. They have less problems at nighttime. You know, they have less attacks, you know, less hospitalizations. It's a much better quality of life for that. But not everyone can see an allergist. So I thought, let's put it into a book like this.
Well, that's good. I know if I had been told there was the possibility that I was going to go into anaphylactic shock getting the C-scan dye, I would have done my asthma inhalers ahead of time. But I did the medication, the prednisone, in advance, and I still had a reaction, and my asthma flared for months after that.
It's amazing, isn't it, how something – you know, can change things for you, and then it doesn't just go away like turning off a switch. It can last for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. And then I tried to purchase the Xopenex medication for my nebulizer. Do you have any idea? You do know how much the copay is?
Unbelievably high.
Yeah, that's with insurance. I can't imagine what people do who don't have insurance.
Yep, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Even the regular inhalers, the rescue medications, have gone up in price. And what happened was, you know, we got rid of all the CFCs, right? The refrigerant propellants, and they were in the inhalers. That was the vehicle that drove them. Well, we got rid of all those. So what happened was the manufacturers now don't really have a generic, so they can charge brand name prices really when the drug itself has not changed. It's very upsetting to me. You know, that a regular inhaler used to cost people $5, and now it's costing them $25 again. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I did is I didn't get the Zopenex. I just said, well, I'll wait till I'm really bad again, which isn't smart because then I won't have it on hand. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how long it's good for. You know, I've got some from the past, but only a few vials left. So
yeah, got to store that stash and take good care of it.
Yes. So out of the 34 million people that are Americans and 300 million people worldwide, how many of those actually have controlled asthma?
You know, what's interesting is, much like you explained, was if you ask people just cursory, how is your asthma? Is it controlled or not? Two-thirds or more of people will say, yes, my asthma is controlled. It's well controlled. When you start asking people questions about, do you wake up at nighttime with your asthma? Do you use your rescue inhaler more than twice a week? You know, what's your quality of life with asthma? You find out the opposite is true. As a matter of fact, only about a third of people have really good control over their asthma. Probably half to two-thirds are not well controlled at all. And they simply accept that to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Astounding.
I know three people that have died from asthma attacks.
Oh.
One was because she ate at a fish place and they cooked the food that she got, the chicken, in the same oil that they cooked the shellfish in, and she didn't make it. And another one was a child that was trying to get to the emergency room and they didn't make it in time. It was too far away. So it's just so sad.
It's heartbreaking, and it happens actually about 4,000 times a year in the United States. Oh. About 11 people a day die from asthma.
And these 11 people, maybe it wouldn't have happened had they had it controlled?
I think so. Most allergists think that we really should be able to get that number of deaths way down. You know, I'm certain there's some, you know, that you just can't fix. And certainly some deaths happen just suddenly, and it doesn't matter where the person is. If they were in the hospital, we wouldn't have been able to save them. But that's not the majority. The majority of people, if they're well controlled, probably could be, this could be prevented.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know for me, I missed one of my shows in April because I went into anaphylactic shock. We don't know what set it off.
Wow.
And luckily, I did two EpiPens. I did my inhalers. I did Benadryl. I did everything I could. I was in the pharmacy trying to figure out what to do. And luckily, I got to the emergency room and they gave me the Decadron and, you know, all that, the treatments they usually do. But, and then the asthma again flared for months after that. So I had no idea what started it.
Yes. And then that's kind of scary, isn't it? You know, knowing is one thing, but not knowing is a whole different story. And that happens.
And, yes, it does. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, I don't carry my EpiPen. You know, I don't worry about it. Well, it takes one time of not having it and you're almost not alive to realize you really do need to have it.
I totally agree with you. I have a patient who's a flight attendant for American, and she was flying into Europe and was in Paris, had a nut allergy and had left her EpiPen at home in the States, and was eating some street food, walking around with the captain of her flight, and had anaphylaxis in the subway in France. Not a good thing. So the people there were a little irritated that she was, you know, in their way.
Yeah.
Luckily, they got the emergency services and took her to the hospital. But you're right. Forearmed, forewarned, right? You have it.
Yes.
You can take care of it. Yep.
Yes. Yeah, I carry mine wherever I go. People kind of make fun of me sometimes. Mm. But it's like the asthma inhaler is within a hand's reach.
Yes.
And my Advair, I know exactly where it is, and I can get to it within a minute.
Right.
And my nebulizer is right ready where I can reach for that. So that's being proactive.
You bring up a good point. It's all about awareness, you know, kind of situational awareness and not being obsessed with it. But the fact is you always have that in your mind. I know where all these things are if I need them. I don't have to scramble. I know what I'm going to do. And it's so important for people to understand that is if you plan ahead, you'll have it when you need it, if you need it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, I found out by seeing my nurse practitioner that I do have inflammation going on. And I didn't even think about that till I read your book.
Yes.
So I'm on something now to help with inflammation.
Oh, great.
So that was helpful, because if I hadn't read your book, I wouldn't have thought about that.
You know, it's interesting, Dr. Melanie, is that when I trained over 20 years ago, we were just starting to look at inflammation and asthma. Prior to that time, inflammation wasn't even understood or treated that well. Mm-hmm. But in the past 20 years, there's been a big push on to do it, as you said, is to treat that inflammatory part of asthma that probably persists even when you're feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
And some people describe it as asthma as the iceberg. So you see some things on the surface, but what lies below the surface is really what can hurt you. And that's that uncontrolled inflammation. And if that's there, it could be a real problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had an occasion where I went to hug my dog who had just had the flea and tick stuff put on his neck. I immediately went into anaphylaxis, and luckily I was only 5 minutes from the emergency room, but then again, it set off the asthma.
Wow.
And you just never know.
Yeah, was there a strong odor to that stuff?
Or? No.
Oh.
No,
wow.
We had just put it on the back of his neck.
Yeah. I'm always amazed, you know, what little it takes. You know, we have fire ants here in Texas, and so I've seen big strapping men be stung by a tiny little fire ant and develop anaphylaxis and go down. I mean, you know, needing to have a rescue right then and there.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
So you've done a very good thing writing this book.
Thank you, Dr. Melanie.
Do you have asthma yourself?
I do not. My wife has asthma, and we've been married for a lot of years, actually about 36 years now.
Ah.
And hers was milder when we were first married. She used to have some exercise-induced asthma. And I can remember us running together for exercise in Philadelphia and on a cool fall morning like this, and she developed an asthma attack from that.
Mm.
And so we got it correctly diagnosed. After she had our first child, our son, she developed a flu, and her asthma got much worse, and it's been really persistent since then. It's not out of control. You know, she takes good care of herself, but, you know, she has to think about it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like you said, the awareness.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, would you like to go into explaining the rules of two?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a very helpful, rule to keep in mind. I love simple, right? Because I just think we're going to remember that. That's how I am. And so the rules of two were developed by Dr. Mark Mollard. He's a pulmonologist here at Baylor Hospital in Dallas. And basically the rules are this. You should use your rescue inhaler twice a week or less. Mm-hmm. You should wake up at nighttime twice a month or less with your asthma. And you should use two canisters of the rescue inhaler, right, the Proventil or Zopanex, as you said, albuterol, a year. If you're breaking those rules, then there's a very good chance that your asthma is not well controlled. So especially those rules of twice a week and twice a month at nighttime. Even to me, asthma, if it wakes you up more than once a month at nighttime, I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thinking there's some inflammation going on that we're not quite hitting. And if people remember those rules of two, they'll never fail to see an asthma attack getting worse or coming on, and then be able to take action when that happens.
Mm-hmm. And I see so many cases, like you talk about in the book, they're not feeling bad, so they don't do their maintenance things.
Yes. Oh, I mean, it's with all of us, isn't it? We kind of feel better, and I'm just as guilty as the next person. I don't think I need that medicine today.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, wait a second. Sure I do. You know, I need to take that every day to keep my blood pressure controlled, you know. Otherwise, I'm going to have problems.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. A lot of folks just kind of stop. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I have my flow meter, you know, that I breathe into to tell where I am. And so after reading your book, I went and did that the other day thinking I was fine. And I'm in the yellow zone. And I thought I was all right.
That's why those peak flow meters can be so helpful, you know.
Yeah.
And I think you saw I developed an application for the iPhone. It's called the Beating Asthma Action Plan. And it's very simple. It's free, available on the App Store. And it allows you to enter your peak flow best and then enter your peak flow where you are today, and it will tell you, based upon these symptoms, this is what action you need to take. So it's very helpful, and it's free.
Free is- tell me the app again so the people can go get it.
It's called the Beating Asthma Action Plan.
Okay.
Yep. Because who wants to carry around a piece of paper all the time? Everybody has a smartphone. So we developed it for the iPhone, and I think we'll probably develop it for the Android as well.
Okay. Yep. That's good. And I know that you need to notify your pharmacist whenever you have medication changes or you have a reaction, so that they, before you get a new medicine, can check to see whether there's something that's going to set you off.
Well, it's very well said. We know that medications that are prescribed are responsible for not only illnesses, but deaths every year in the United States,
yes.
A significant number. So it's very important to look for drug interactions, especially as people get older and they start being prescribed multiple medications. They can counteract each other, or they can make things worse. It's real minefield. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you agree with that. So
I do. Yeah.
Good.
I use software, when I'm prescribing for patients, and if they're on multiple medications, it'll usually tell me there's an interaction. And if it doesn't, I'll put the medicines in a little software site that will tell me, yes, you need to not use this medicine.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, how about we take a break at this point, and then we're going to have Iris come on and talk about the products that I think will be great for your patients as well. Mm-hmm. And then after her, we'll have you come back and we'll talk some more. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Step up to the microphone. View the finalists right now on VoiceAmericaKids.tv. America's next great star is waiting to be discovered. Step up to the microphone is an exclusive presentation for VoiceAmerica.tv, where you can see and hear America's next top child star. The program is hosted by Voice America's own Cassie Frazier, and new episodes will be available every week exclusively at VoiceAmericaKids.tv. You can say you saw them at the beginning of their superstar career. Tune in to VoiceAmericaKids.tv.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative, self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Are you, or is someone you know, struggling with life? Do you know that your subconscious beliefs play a big role in the outcome of your hard work? We can help you to permanently change your beliefs that may not be in alignment with your goals. We care about getting you a return on your investment. We can help you reach your goals easily and quickly. Contact us at BeliefMantra.com. That's BeliefMantra.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We've been talking with Dr. Stephen Apolisky about beating asthma. We're going to come back to the rest of that interview, but right now we're going to talk to Iris Seamus, who has created some products that are really useful for kids who have allergies and asthma. So welcome, Iris.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Dr. Melanie.
Well, it's a product that's been long overdue.
Thank you. I hear that a lot from mothers. They basically say, oh, you know, we thought of this idea too, or we were looking for something like this, and you actually did it. So that's I think that's something a lot of parents out there would agree with.
How did you come up with the name Allermates?
You know what? I'm trying to think back. We were sitting around with a friend, talking about both of our sons' allergies, and we wanted, you know, I wanted to create a product that was, had like kind of like a friendly feel to it. Allermates seemed like something that was helpful in as far as allergies and asthma were concerned. So we kind of, went with that. It was like one of those things where once it was said out loud, I was like, that's it.
Uh-huh. So how long did it take from the idea to actually come into becoming the company?
I would say that it took a good year. It was one of those things where, came up with the idea, but I didn't really know how to go about it. So started to ask people, make phone calls. I remember the first phone call I made was to like someone I knew was a manufacturer, and I was so nervous just to even make the call, and, you know, wanted to ask him questions like, how do I even go about creating something? I mean, it was just completely foreign to me, the whole idea of creating a product. So it took a while. I had two toddlers at home, and was they were keeping me quite busy at the time.
Yes, but I'm sure you're an expert now. You know exactly what to do and how to get the production done.
Now it's yes. I actually get calls all the time from women that are starting their own business, and they want to talk to me. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I've become a little bit of an expert. But we're right now we have about, I don't know, something like 30 SKUs, and we're probably going to quadruple that in the next 6 months. So our product line is just expanding and then expanding again and again. And you know, the demand is really there, and we just want to be able to offer as many products as possible and you know, help parents and children manage and give them tools to help create awareness and alert and safety.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell our listeners what kinds of products you have to offer.
Right now we have 15 wristbands available. They are adjustable, so they fit almost every child. And mm-hmm. They are very colorful, very cute, and basically let everyone know what to be aware of as far as that child having, whether it's a peanut allergy, an egg allergy, a dairy allergy, and even asthma is actually our latest band that we just added, and it's quickly becoming a very popular item for us. Mm-hmm. We also have a lunch bag. Again, let people know that their child has allergies, and we are now doing stickers as well as little medicine carrying cases. You know, as you were talking before about all the little medicines that you have, mm-hmm. I had the same thing with my son. It's like with the epinephrine, with the, you know, when he gets asthmatic, with the you know, different inhalers and so on. And I thought there should be like a cute little bag for kids to have to carry around where everything is organized, where there's their name, where there's emergency information, and that's exactly what we developed and what we're basically launching next month.
Great, because I know some kids don't want other people to know. They don't want to be treated different. So because your things are whimsical and funny, then they're more apt to carry them and be proud.
Well, that was the whole point. The whole point was we wanted kids to feel really good about themselves and to create products that were sort of stylish and cool, you know, as far as what kids are wearing these days. And that's the heart of what we do, is to make mm-hmm. sure that the kid feels good about himself. And we've actually get so many requests from people saying, you know, my other daughter doesn't have an allergy and she really wants to wear your bands. And so we are actually developing other style bands, but the point is that we really want to make, you know, these children feel good about themselves, and that's mm-hmm. that's the kind of products we are producing.
So when will the supportive bands be out for the siblings?
They actually will be out in November.
Okay.
Where right now we our products are available in Walgreens nationwide, mm-hmm. and soon to be available in three other major retailers. But right now you can find them at your local Walgreens.
Mm-hmm. My daughter said, oh, be sure and tell her to go market Target, because there'd be lots of people that would do that for their kids if they saw them in Target. So.
Oh, I think we have plans and meeting with Target soon. It's just we're growing really quickly, and we want to make these products available to as many children as possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, you and Dr. Apolisky can be connected after the show, because I'm sure he's got lots of contacts. You can go to health fairs and things like that, and he can give you lots of connections.
I would love to be connected with Dr. Apolisky. As a matter of fact, part of what we're doing is we're not just offering product, but we offer information and content, and our website is, we're about to relaunch our website, and it's going to have, it already has a community as well as content, but we're going to sort of supercharge it and really we're organizing it so that a parent can come and learn about what to do if their child has asthma. And that is something that I would, I'm sure Dr. Apolisky and I can talk a lot about in terms of the content that we'd love to provide mm-hmm. parents and children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to get that endorsement of each other of what you do, that would be great.
Absolutely.
And just to let the listeners know is that we are offering a banner on my host page and my website. If they click on it, it'll take them directly to your website.
That's right.
So they can go look and purchase things.
Yep, and I think we offered your listeners even a coupon.
Yes, you did. You offered him a discount, so yep. Definitely they need to go check that out, because that will be very beneficial for them and help your company too.
Yep, ourmates.com.
Mm-hmm. And eventually they're going to say, how about you expand your company to cover other conditions for kids as well?
Well, we are doing that. We actually, we've gotten for the past 3 years, we get, requested daily for diabetes. So that is in production right now. And we're doing a vegan ban. We get a lot of requests for a lot of different things. So anything that we think is beneficial to a child's health and so on is things that we would, we would definitely be interested in doing.
Mm-hmm. Does your son help you design things? You get his approval, since this was pretty much initiated because of him.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have these new lunch bags that we're launching, and I, as my son, when I first started this, he was in preschool, and now he's 8 years old. So, we're creating more products, new products that appeal even to a sort of what we call the tween and the teen. So. It's there's stuff that I believe will appeal from every age, and so we're actually expanding our line, and he is very much, I make sure that he thinks it's cool.
Cool, good.
Then it's okay. So yeah. Definitely kids are very much a part of our creative process.
Good. Yeah, he's your test market.
Yes.
To try it out. Yeah.
Him, my daughter, she doesn't have allergies. She's the lucky one. But they definitely let me know what they like and what they don't like. So
that's good. That's good.
Yep, I have a built-in focus group here.
Uh-huh.
Now, three children.
Isn't your spouse in some way related to caricatures and things like that to help out with designing these things?
There have been times where my kids would name a character, they're like our egg character, his name is Eggy. My kids, when they were three or four, said it has to be Eggy. So I said, okay, we'll call the egg character Eggy. So but yeah, there have been times where they're very they know all the characters, they know all their names, their backgrounds. And that, the reason why we created these characters is because we know how much kids love characters, and they love, when they're sort of whimsical and you know, characters that you kind of like, they poke fun at themselves. So definitely gets the kids talking.
Mm-hmm. And you say we. Who are you referring to that's part of the company besides you?
Oh, I have right now a few employees. So, and then I think maybe when I said we, I was referring to me and my kids. But
Okay. Now, doesn't your husband have some experience with cartoon characters or comic books or something I read somewhere?
Oh, yes. My husband's family were in the comic book industry. They actually started a magazine called Wizard, which was, for 20 years, it was the book about comics. So it was the guide, you know, it was the magazine that told you, you know, what to read, what's worth, what your comic books are worth, what's coming up.
Oh.
It was very much like the go-to factor in the comic book industry. So yes, my in-laws are comic book art collectors, and I luckily, you know, I very surrounded by artists and very creative people.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of that connection.
Uh-huh. Now, does your son help to create these characters, or he just tells you the names?
It's mostly me.
Okay.
Me and my imagination.
Well, it's pretty creative. I like it.
Yeah, it's really exciting. The characters themselves also, they're evolving. I think we are, we'll be doing books also this year, and we have like wonderful Disney artists redrawing them, and they're moving and they're posing, and it's exciting to see that they're evolving as the company evolves as well.
Yay. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So is there a catalog that people can order things from, or they just go to your website?
It's really primarily the website, and you know, as I mentioned before, we just launched some of our products into Walgreens, and we'll be launching even more products and even more of our product line into other major retailers, and that information will be available on our website as soon as we're allowed to give out that information.
Okay. Can they go to your website now?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And they can join our site and join our community and join our Facebook page and sort of keep them updated as far as all the new stuff we have developing and so on.
Okay. So it's www.allermates.com, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, do you have any stories of people who've used your products and it's helped them in some way or prevented them from having a reaction to something?
Every email that I receive, and we receive so many wonderful, amazing emails. I even get emails sometimes from children who say to me that they were, you know, really embarrassed about their nut allergy, and you know, now they wear our bands, and they're so, and it makes them feel so good about themselves and so proud. And parents who claim that they feel so much more comfortable sending their child to daycare knowing that they have their Allermates bands on, and it just gives them such a sense of security. So yes, we have a lot of wonderful comments, and that is also something that we'll eventually do, like a really large, I mean, I think we have testimonials on our site now, but it's probably just a handful of what we have, and we mm-hmm. hope that to keep uploading them. But of course we're busy. But
yes,
we definitely hear from the people, and it's usually like really great stuff.
That's wonderful. Well, I hope that after you being on the show today, you'll just be overloaded with orders, and that will be a good thing, a good problem to have.
Yes, and we've had that problem.
Okay. Well, I hope I create that one for you and that you have to expand, so that would be a wonderful thing.
I hope so, too.
Well, this has been extremely enlightening and helpful and very useful. So I'm very grateful that you took the time out of your busy schedule to come be on the show today. So thank you, Iris.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, stick around to the end of the show, and we're going to go to a break right now. But thank you again.
Thank you.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
March is Social Worker Month, a time to remember social work heroes like Nobel Prize winner Jane Addams, Secretary of Labor Frances Perkins, and civil rights leaders Dorothy Height and Whitney Young. They all helped make this nation great. You can too. If you're a professional social worker, the National Association of Social Workers provides a unique network of your peers. If you're thinking about becoming a social worker, NASW resources can help you explore your options. Social work is the profession of hope.
Are you, or is someone you know, struggling with life? Do you know that your subconscious beliefs play a big role in the outcome of your hard work? We can help you to permanently change your beliefs that may not be in alignment with your goals. We care about getting you a return on your investment. We can help you reach your goals easily and quickly. Contact us at BeliefMantra.com. That's BeliefMantra.com.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced cell training is a restorative self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at advancedcelltraining.com. That's advancedcelltraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We just were talking with Iris Seamus, who created a thing called Allermates. They're products for kids who have allergies and asthma. So make sure you go check out their website. And now we're going to finish our interview with Dr. Apolitsky talking about beating asthma. So, Dr. Apolitsky, what age are people usually diagnosed with asthma?
Yeah, a lot, you know, most, it can happen at any age. I mean, you can be diagnosed at any age, Dr. Melanie. Of course, more often we'll see it initially diagnosed in children. When they're very young, you know, it's a little bit difficult. I can remember one of my pediatric mentors, my professor, saying to us, kids can't have asthma when they're less than 1 year of age. Impossible. That was, you know, 30 years ago. And then I came to realize, I love the guy and he was great. He's since gone, but he was wrong. You know, it can happen before that. And so it's important to recognize that. It does get a little tough in kids, you know, because physicians, I think, are afraid to call it asthma, you know, for various reasons. But once parents have that handle, they can understand, okay, now we have to develop a plan to treat this. So childhood, you know, 2 years of age is fairly common, but even less. Yep.
Okay. So is it people develop allergies to things that set off the asthma, like, you know, you introduce a new food and that sets it off? What kind of things?
That's certainly one of the triggers. You know, foods typically, I mean, asthma may be one part of the spectrum of that whole anaphylaxis experience that we were talking about earlier, you know, that people can have to drugs or you know, insects or foods and other issues. And a lot of times they have other symptoms as well, you know, to, rash on the skin, swelling of the lips or the eyes, you know, difficulty breathing, intestinal symptoms, and all those sort of things. But you do become sensitized. So allergies are definitely one of the major triggers. You know, pollens, we're in the middle of the ragweed pollen season right now, is a trigger. Animal danders and certainly mold spores can trigger asthma as well.
Mm-hmm. And yep. Stressors too.
Oh, absolutely. It's, you know, whenever you have a chronic illness, as you're aware, is anybody that has developed stress, whatever goes in that noggin of ours affects mm-hmm. the entire body. You know, mm-hmm. we ignore that at our own peril. And I've seen people that have been on four medicines for their asthma living in a very difficult situation. When the stress was removed, the asthma didn't go away, but they were down to one medicine. I mean, they
yes.
were, you know, it was just about cured. So the mind is extremely powerful here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I lived in a house that I didn't know had been drenched in Hurricane mm-hmm. Hugo in Charleston.
Yes.
And I ended up on oxygen and seeing a pulmonologist and an allergist and all kinds of specialists. And amazing, my allergist suggested, why don't you move to a house on a slab?
Right.
I did. My asthma cleared up.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, we can be so helpful.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
But that was amazing. Was there mold in that house, do you think?
Yes. When yeah. we went to sell the house, we yeah. had to pay for an environmental cleanup, which we didn't know was there. It was in the floor joists, the walls.
Right.
All throughout, yeah. So that would be something, if you're asthmatic, check out before you move into a house. Make sure you have a home inspection done.
Absolutely. Yep. Don't be surprised, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I almost took a job at near the coast in Florida and didn't, because when we went to interview, my asthma flared so badly. When I went back home to Charleston, my allergist said, if you go there, you're putting your life in jeopardy. You know, living at the beach is wonderful, but not for you.
Right. And it's important to know that. So people will sometimes ask, do you think my allergies will be better if I move to whatever X? And I say, well, the best way to tell is if you know someone there, go and spend a week or so there or more. Mm-hmm. And if mm-hmm. you have, do just great, then chances are good you'll do fine. But if you don't, better listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to your own body. Right.
Right. Right. Yep. Well, everybody used to move to Arizona, but now
oh, yes.
they planted things in Arizona.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. I had the worst allergy attack I ever had when I was in Arizona one time. I thought, how could this be? It's desert, but it's out there. You know, plants are out there.
Yeah, and it's blowing around. You're mm-hmm. going to inhale it, yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
So tell the listeners what the title of your book means, Beating Asthma.
Right. When you first look at that, some people might think, well, he means he can cure asthma with his principles. But,
yes.
but I don't. I mean, by beating asthma, I mean getting the best control over this illness that you can, that's achievable for you. So mm-hmm. not accepting anything less than that. And with those statistics we talked about earlier, where 2/3 of people are not well controlled, I think there's a lot of room for improvement in the way people manage their asthma. And so that's what I hope to help people achieve, is a much better improved control. And when you do that, your quality of life will improve. There's no
mm-hmm.
question. Yep.
Absolutely, yes.
Yep.
So tell them what the 7 simple principles are.
Right. So if we start off with the first one, it's understanding the problem. So we understand that asthma, as we already discussed, is a problem of airway inflammation and a twitchy airway. Mm-hmm. And mucus production. So mm-hmm. once you know that and you understand that it's a chronic illness, then you can understand that it needs your care and attention on a persistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is prevention by avoidance. So I think the cornerstone of treatment is not drugs initially, but are there things causing asthma that we can avoid? So if, you know, we got a cat into our home and my child's asthma is becoming worse, maybe we need to look at changing, you know, that decision,
mm-hmm.
you know, or other allergens. You know, what kind of things can we do to avoid triggers? Ozone's a major trigger. You know, I'm sure that Iris, like us here in Texas, you know, we have elevated ozone levels in certainly in the bigger cities. And they're higher in the summertime when the air is still, when it's very hot, and usually during rush hour in the evening. So you can hopefully keep your child or yourself out of that situation if you want to exercise maybe before or after that, so you're not exposed to ozone. So prevention by avoidance.
Okay.
We look at pharmaceuticals, and this is using the medications that we talked about. Talking about how asthma therapy is a step therapy. So you start simply with the first inhaler is the dilator, and then you step up to increased, let's say, kinds or numbers of medications until you achieve control. The most common controller medicine that people will use every day is an inhaled steroid medicine, like Asmanex or Flovent or one of those type medications. If that doesn't control asthma, looking back at the rules of two, then you typically will add a second medicine that's a combination of a long-acting dilator and an inhaled steroid, and in some people, singular. And I actually use a lot of singular in children because it's not a steroid, and if it works, it may make a big difference in their asthma.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, do you have to worry about these medications stunting someone's growth? Is that a potential?
What a timely question that is. For years, we were telling people that our understanding was it didn't seem to affect ultimate adult height. More recently, as a matter of fact, in this past 2 weeks, they've reviewed data and put it out in a study in the New England Journal of Medicine that says actually using the inhaled steroid medicines may affect adult height by about a centimeter. So we're talking about a very small change, you know, in ultimate height. And I'm going to blog about that this coming week because, you know, I don't want to scare people away from using the medications, because if you choose not to use the inhaled medicines, then you're choosing to have uncontrolled inflammation typically in the chest. So,
and you might not reach adult age.
You might not reach adult age. You may have chronic problems then. You know, that's what we're just not sure about. So, you know, it's very interesting. Yeah, so a centimeter, I mean, we're talking, what, maybe less than a half an inch.
Okay.
So it's there. And I'm always careful to never tell people, look, there's no risk for this medicine. I think any time you put a drug in your body, you have to worry about what could happen here long term and be aware of it going into it.
So, well, we have within the family, when my grandson has to be on prednisone, his brother and sister will say, yeah, he's angry, but it's his medicine. He's not really like that.
I had a steroid injection for my allergies, and my staff is always like, oh, boy, you don't that shot. I'm like, okay, I won't do it because I get grumpy.
So,
And again, I have some patients that asthma is so severe, you know, we talk about beating it. The only way we can control it is they end up being on oral steroids every other day or sometimes every day. Now, those are few and far between, but, boy, it's that's a tough road to hoe because, you know, they're faced with steroid side effects long term.
Right.
You know, hopefully.
Blood sugar can get affected, yeah.
Blood pressure, osteoporosis, you know, all those sort of things can happen, cataracts. So it's kind of the last resort right now. There are new medicines coming out that are being developed, the biologic agents that are an injection that people can get once or twice a month. And to me, this is the very exciting part of the future, is therapy that will be more individualized, I think. So, you know, right now when you use an inhaler, we're saying, well, any asthmatic who meets this category should do this. But there are people that don't respond well to certain medications. So when we're understanding the genome and we're developing new drugs, we'll have drugs that may help, let's say, 30% of people with asthma, but they won't help the other 70. But another drug that will help a different 30%. So it's very exciting moving into the future. You know, you always hope for a cure, but I know until then we're going to have some great medicines to make a difference.
That's good. That's good, because I know with my grandson, he gained a lot of weight just being on one round of prednisone. And it was so frustrating to everybody, you know, but it was controlling his asthma, so it was necessary.
Yep.
But it'd be nice to have something individualized.
You know,
go ahead.
Should I talk about the patient-physician relationship? I think this is extremely important. You know, Iris talked about seeing her allergist, sounds like a good person, listens to her, helps her develop a treatment plan, you know, an action plan. That's very important. You know, I think there's plenty of physicians around. Allergists as a whole, you know, tend to be good listeners and, you know, work in collaboration with their patients. And that's what you need to look for, you know, someone to you and value your input. Patients and parents are experts in their kids and themselves, and yes. brings their knowledge, and that's together, that's very powerful. Mm-hmm. And the last thing that I talk about is a positive mindset. And, you know, I'm not saying we can cure asthma through positive thinking, but it's this awareness that you have that you own this illness. You know, like with Iris, her son, she understands her son has food allergies and asthma, and she's responsible for that. Once you make that step, you know, that you own this illness, so to speak, you're not a victim any longer, and you can take mm-hmm. steps needed. So I know you had a guest on about a month ago, an octogenarian. She was wonderful, talking about the power of positive, you know, mindset, which is
yes.
similar to what I'm talking about here. And like I said, it won't cure it, but boy, the people that I see that have that mindset and the parents and kids that way, they just seem to have a much easier time of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. What happens if the physician you're working with isn't listening and there isn't somebody, you know, an allergy specialist nearby? What should a parent do?
I think if they otherwise seem to have a good relationship with the physician, I would sit them down and say, listen, you know, we need to be a little better at communicating. I'll do a good job, but it has to go both ways. You know, kind of prod them along those lines and let them know what you need. And if that doesn't happen, I'd fire them.
Right. Yes.
I would fire them. Give them permission.
Yeah.
And find someone else, because there may not be an asthma specialist right there. But, you know, Dr. Melanie, I have people that come and see me from, you know, from an hour or two away. And, mm-hmm. you know, they have a good physician who can manage stuff on the fly. But then, when they're with me, let's say a couple times a year, a few times a year, we kind of get everything managed and tucked in. And then when they go back home, they're kind of set. Mm-hmm. So, oh, it's, you know, you may have to do some traveling, but good physicians are out there. And I always listen to my friends. I'm looking for a physician. I ask them who's been good to them and listens to them and does a good job.
So, good. Yep. And I always, wherever I go, I take a list of all my medications, all the things I'm allergic to. I take it from this doctor. I take a copy of every report from the previous doctor to the next one so that they know what's going on.
So you're the empowered patient. You're the ultimate,
yeah.
you know. And
yes.
I love that. You know, some physicians, you know, don't care about that. But, you know, people bring information in or they've seen something on the internet as well. Bring it in. We'll talk about it.
Right.
I don't have to be.
Well, that's just like reading your book, talk to me about inflammation. So I went to my nurse practitioner and asked about it. Oh, yes. Well, you know, had I not had that information from you, I wouldn't have known to ask.
And that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So you're doing tremendously good work.
Thanks, Dr. Melanie.
Well, it's my pleasure to let the world know about that. So as parting words of wisdom, what would you say to parents of kids who have asthma?
I would say maintain hope that even though you may be in a dark place right now and things may be difficult for you, especially as a parent, and you're running to the emergency room or hospitalizations, things can get better. Don't forget that. Get the help you need. Read my book. Find a good physician, nurse practitioner, someone who understands asthma, and go for it.
Okay. And your website that they can go to?
Sure. It's beatingasthma.com.
Okay. Well, this has been extremely helpful, and I truly appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to do it. So I hope you get some great responses from people listening in.
Thanks, Dr. Melanie. It's been great to be here.
All right. Well, hang, because now it's time to wrap up today's show. If you want more information about allergies and asthma, go to beatingasthma.com. If you want to order some of those Allermate products, go to allermates.com or go to my host page or go to my website, thedrmelanieshow.com, and you can click and get a discount and order those products. Next week, we are going to interview Peter McCarthy, who wrote the book called Adrenaline Nation, and he's going to talk about the effect of stress on the body, just like today's program, how stress can affect your asthma. Stress can affect many things about us. So be sure you tune in for that. Remind your friends that all the shows are archived and you can access them through iTunes or through going to the site. So remember, to help yourself, help someone else. Until next week, goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.